I'm a man on a mission, yeah, this man's got a plan. Ever since I can remember, I've been a Florida Gator fan. You think I would have given up by now? No way. No
how. You are listening to Gator Raiders, the official podcast of Gatorade.com. I'm Joe Morgan, and with me today is Will Smith.
Hey, how you all doing?
Yeah, normally we would have Griffin here, Griffin Tillis, our value co-host, but he is in South Carolina this week with his family. So, Griffin, hope you're having a fun time. We miss you here, and can't wait to get you back. The listeners are going to miss Griffin this week, I think, because Will and I are kind of dry. Griff brings that vibrant, colorful voice to the show, but we will troop on. The podcast must go on. So, Will, are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Florida basketball, Florida Gators are currently 14-4, 3-1 in the SEC. Since we've done our last podcast, Florida lost to South Carolina 72-69 at the O'Connell Center last Saturday, and they defeated the Auburn Tigers, probably the worst SEC team this year, 45-40 on the road. So, Will, what are you thinking about Florida basketball right now?
Especially after seeing tonight, you know, I've said it before, they're extremely disappointing. But I think the main problem of what their bad season is coming from is their bench. In the past four games, not including Auburn, against Rhode Island, the bench scored 14 points. Against, let's see here, Ole Miss, only 5. Against Tennessee, only 4. And in the only game, I believe, where the bench actually had more than one person score against South Carolina, they only made 12 points. It's a huge vacuum for the University of Florida team. Every good team not only has good starters, but they have good backups as well. Those are the teams that can, you know, play every minute of the game without having to substitute someone in just for a little while, just to give like their good players a rest, and then in that short span not be able to score at all. Definitely saw that today. It was like, what, Billy Donovan's lowest scoring game ever?
Something like it was.
It was 45 points in two halves. After the half, they scored, at the half they had, what?
23
points, and they only got another 22 in the second half.
It was just, for those of you who watched the game tonight, you know what we're talking about. For those of you who didn't, it was just brutal. Absolutely brutal. Florida's shooting percentage tonight was in the 20s. And from three-point range, they were at 19%, which will actually boost a point I will make later on. But
it's really rather surprising that they even won.
Well, I mean, the only thing we can chalk that up to is I think Auburn is just so terrible.
Auburn is pretty bad at basketball.
Yeah, they only scored 5 points in the first half against LSU. And LSU, while they are certainly, they're a talented Division I team, they're not, you know, exactly everybody's picked to go to the Final Four or anything. So, but, yeah, well, so, yeah, sorry to cut you off there. But.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the most consistent player so far has been Irving Walker. You know, you see a lot of times in the highlights, you see Chandler Parsons with his two clutch threes in those different games, you know, on ESPN. But really who this team relies on the most is Irving Walker. He generally scores the most points. He has one of the best field goal percentages on the team. He generally is good at three-pointers. You know, against Rhode Island, he had 14 points. Ole Miss, he had 20. Tennessee, he had 15 points. And against South Carolina, he had 17. He's pretty close together in his points. Almost in every game, he made 5 or 6 of his field goals. But, I mean, he's a big part of the team. If he were to, of course, go out, Florida would probably be, you know, fifth in the league, in their conference. Another big thing for this Florida team is their shooting percentage. not even, surprisingly, their three-point percentage is often either very close or sometimes even higher than their just field goals, which is, you know, something that's weird.
Right.
You, who would think of that?
Jack up so many threes anymore. Few of them are bound to go in, but
most of their field goals are under 500. You know, that's really disappointing, especially when, you know, in college you take a lot more layups than when you actually shoot it. You'd expect people to make it more. But, I mean, there's nothing really else to say about this team rather than, you know, they've been overrated. I'm kind of on the fence right now about Billy Donovan. You know, he did have two national championships, but you can argue that he kind of fell into that. But at the same time, you know, you can't judge someone on a single season. I'm kind of stepping it back here and giving him another chance, I suppose.
Right. But here's what I see with Florida basketball. Mainly, I think Kenny Boynton and Irving Walker are taking way too many three-point shots. It seems like Florida is living and dying with a three-pointer, which, you know, can pay off. But the thing is Florida is not that good of a shooting team. I mean, based off of perception, I mean, the stats are there. It looks like they're a good team, but it just seems like every possession they just run out there and they jack up a three. And they're not utilizing their post players at all. You have Vernon Macklin, Alex Tyus, and then Patrick Young, who's kind of had an underwhelming season, to say the least, based on what the hype he was coming in. But Florida needs to get it in the paint. The three highest field goal percentages on the team are Patrick Young, 564. Of course, he hasn't had a lot of shots, so that's not based off of a huge body of work. But then you have Vernon Macklin, who ranks second with a 563, and Alex Tyus, who ranks third with a 492. So if you pound the ball in down low to these guys in the paint, they're going to put the ball in the basket. It's as simple as that. An interesting thing I saw on ESPN tonight was that the starters have a very balanced shot distribution, which actually kind of surprised me, considering from what I've seen from the guards, especially Walker and Boynton, because I feel like they're shooting the ball every time. But I think that Florida should focus more on getting the ball to the big men. They're taking way too many threes, and I think it's a dangerous game to live by. Also, Florida needs to take care of the basketball. They're very good defensively, very good at forcing turnovers, but at the same time, they turn the ball over a lot as well. Their steals and their turnovers are right about the same level. They rank ninth in the SEC with a negative 0.18 turnover margin per game. So for every time they take the ball away, they're giving it right back pretty much. So what good is to take away if you don't do anything with it, really? Some things the Gators are doing well. They're doing great in rebounding. They lead the SEC in rebounding margin. They're out-rebounding their opponents by nearly 7 rebounds a game. So, I mean, they're crashing the boards. That's a good thing. And one thing I've noticed about Florida basketball is Chandler Parsons, he's a clutch player, as was proven last season with his two threes. Then one of them was kind of a luck shot. So, I mean, he did drain it. So, and then Parsons with the three against South Carolina last year. I just really wish we'd see more of him late in the games, especially when they're tight and they're getting close. Irving Walker and Kenny Boynton were the heroes tonight against Auburn. But I think Chandler Parsons should be stepping up in these situations. I mean, he has a history of being a clutch player, and he's certainly capable of stepping up to the task. So Florida basketball, I would say it's disappointing. Joel Barker, who we had on the show last week, I was talking to him on Twitter today, and we were just talking about how Florida is such a Jekyll and Hyde kind of team. You know, they'll come out, they'll play great games against Kansas State, Xavier, and Tennessee, and then they'll lose to Jacksonville, South Carolina, and nearly drop a game to Auburn, who, you know, as Will and I said, like, talked about before, is probably the worst team in the SEC this year. So Florida basketball is just, they just look like really underachieving this year. That's really all you could say. I mean, they have a 14-4 record, which many teams would be thrilled with, but with a group of guys this experienced and with this much talent at their disposal with a championship coach, it's kind of difficult. Wow, Will just pointed out to me that Auburn's RPI rank is 317. So that 5-point victory tonight will not look good on Florida's NCAA tournament resume. So that's Florida basketball for you, but we're going to go ahead and move on to football.
And right.
Florida's been making a lot of noise. Well, Will Muschamp has, at least, with his coaching staff hires. We can go through the hires real quick if you like, Will. All right, so offense coordinator, Charlie Weiss. And then defense coordinator,
Dan Quinn,
who was with the Seahawks as defensive line coach.
Speaking of, the Seahawks are losing a lot of coaches.
Yeah, the Seahawks are losing a lot of coaches. And Florida has Frank Verducci as the offensive line coach slash running game coordinator. And Aubrey Hill from Miami as our new wide receivers coach. And then Muschamp decided to retain Brian White, our tight ends coach. Stan Drayton, our running backs coach. Mickey Marotti, our strength and conditioning coach. And the last name escapes me, which is horrible because we're on the air.
I can't think of it either.
Oh, DJ Durkin, the special teams coordinator. There we go. My apologies to you, Coach Durkin. I do not mean to undervalue your role with the team.
Hey, special teams is a very important part of any football team. Just look at Beamer Ball.
Yeah, I just, you know, Urban Meyer coaches special teams so much, it's easy to overlook Durkin. You know, I mean, he just had it for 1 year, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, oh, and Bryant Young, the defensive line coach. Gators picked him up as well, former San Francisco 49er. Yep. I don't know, it seems like it should be an interesting pick. He's only had one, I mean, he was a grad assistant at Notre Dame in 2009 with Charlie Weiss.
That's the only college job he's had, though, am I correct?
Oh, yeah, then he was with San Jose State for 1 year.
Oh, but, yeah, I mean, I apologize.
You're pretty, right. Well, I mean.
That's not exactly, you know, like the premier program.
But. Yeah, San Jose State had a pretty rough year this year. Let's just say that I've coached youth basketball for more years than Bryant Young's coached college football. But we're not going to hold that against them. So Will and I are going to talk about our favorite coaching hires from Will Muschamp. So, Will, who is your favorite coaching hire?
I'm going to go with Aubrey Hill.
Miami Homer.
Yeah. But he was at Florida first, so technically.
Yeah. Coming home.
He actually played wide receiver at University of Florida, and he later became a graduate assistant under Steve Spurrier. He's had a very long career. He has gone to multiple places. Most recently, of course, he was at the University of Miami. But before that, he coached at Pittsburgh and Elon. You know, most people probably know about Elon. It's in North Carolina. But, I mean, Pittsburgh's a respectable program.
Right.
However, I don't know if any of you know much about University of Miami football, but Leonard Hankerson, the most recent senior wide receiver, who's actually had the best season since Andre Johnson.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
He's a phenomenal player, and he's probably going to be taken first, second round in the draft, I'd imagine. And he, of course, was coached by Aubrey Hill, who was their wide receivers coach. Aubrey Hill was also their recruiting coordinator for a year, so he also helped him bring some talent. He's had experience with that now, and he's going to help contribute to their University of Florida. Excuse me for one moment.
There's got to be a special fire in Aubrey Hill, especially coming back to your alma mater. You know, Steve Spurrier came back here, completely built this program pretty much from the ground up, and, you know, I mean, just it's probably got to be a lot of passion with Hill coming back here. You know, he's excited to, you know, get back to Gainesville and stuff. So there's probably going to be that extra motivation there. And he's really going to have his work cut out for him, too, because Florida's receivers weren't not anything.
I know. They've had, you know, some pretty tough troubles. You know, Deontay Thompson's had so much scrutiny over every drop pass he gets, even though he still somehow manages to get the most reception yards on the team.
It's baffling when you think about it.
He could be such a good wide receiver. He just catch half the balls he drops.
I know.
But, you know, I really do think Aubrey Hill would help him with those drop passes. He would help those two new recruits coming in that we'll talk about later who are wide receivers. But, I mean, that means something when you coach someone to be as good as Andre Johnson.
Right.
I mean, that is one good wide receiver.
Andre Johnson is a very good fantasy pick. I had him on my fantasy team a couple years back before I dropped out of fantasy. He got me so many points every week, and you know, I mean, I think Andre Johnson's in the Pro Bowl again this year, so good player. And you know, I hate to go off on a tangent, but I wonder if the Texans are ever gonna get much use out of him. I mean, Texans haven't made the playoffs in ever, so
yeah,
we'll see with that. But getting back to Gator football,
I mean, he just generally impresses me much more than any other coach. I looked at a couple other coaches. so much talent's coming from the NFL, and not even just like a little bit of NFL experience. It's long tenure of NFL experience. There's people who've been there 14 years, 27 years. But the thing that still disappoints me about them is I look at their stats and I look at their histories, and from what I see, they either don't have very good, you know, stats with their teams, or they just kind of hop around from team to team, which tells me they're not good enough to stay at one place, almost.
Yeah.
I mean, not to, like, diss Will Muschamp's, like, judgment calls or the actual legitimacy of these coaches. I'm sure they'll do a much better job than I would ever would. But I feel like unless they can somehow pull it together, Florida's going to have another disappointing year.
All right.
But who's your favorite hire?
Well, my favorite coaching hire, and this is going to sound really cliche and, like, yeah, I'm going to go with Charlie Weiss, the offensive coordinator. I like Charlie Weiss. When I heard Charlie Weiss was announced as the offensive coordinator, it kind of surprised me. I didn't think that he would bolt back to college so quickly after his experience in Notre Dame. But, heck, you know, I mean, whatever floats his boat. But it didn't surprise me after I looked at it a little bit. Urban Meyer and Bill Belichick are really close friends, consult a lot. You know, New England drafted all those Florida players, Brandon Spikes, Jermaine Cunningham, Aaron Hernandez in the draft last year. And with Weiss being a Belichick disciple, and Urban Meyer actually served as a consultant to Will Muschamp during his coaching hires, the Charlie Weiss hire actually, you know, makes a lot of sense. And I really like Charlie Weiss. He was offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, and they won those three Super Bowl championships. He's coached quarterbacks like Tom Brady, and then at Notre Dame, his teams never won a lot, but they had great offenses. He had Brady Quinn, who ended up being a first-round NFL draft pick, Jimmy Clausen, who was Mel Kiper's top-rated quarterback in the draft last year, even though he dropped into the later rounds. But Jimmy Clausen's a good quarterback, too. And then Charlie Weiss worked with Matt Cassel in Kansas City this year. And actually, Matt Cassel had a great year in New England when Tom Brady went down with an injury. But he kind of fell off the radar when he went to Kansas City Chiefs. He threw 16 touchdowns and 16 interceptions in 2009.
Better than Chad Henne.
Well, I think I'm better than Chad Henne. Yeah, but then, you know, under Weiss, Matt Cassel just exploded this year. 27 touchdowns, 5 picks, over 3,000 yards. And the Chiefs made the playoffs, went from 4-12 to 10-6. And they had the NFL's top rushing game, 164.2 yards per game. So that really excites me. And it should excite the Gator Nation that Florida, it's going to be a rough change going from the spread offense back to the pro style, because Urban Meyer's recruited players for the spread offense. And you have all these guys who are speed specialists. You have Jeff Demps, Mike Blakely, who's coming in, Chris Rainey, players like that. You know, you have Trey Burton, Jordan Reed, mobile quarterbacks like that in the pro style. It's going to be a rough transition. But I like what I see from Charlie Weiss, and you know, I think he's going to do a heck of a job. And, you know, maybe we'll finally see John Brantley do something worthwhile. You know,
I hope you're right.
Perhaps he'll throw double-digit touchdown passes next year.
He could also throw double-digit interceptions.
Well, he did that this year, so I really wouldn't expect anything different, but heck, you know, so consider me a fan of the Charlie Weiss hire. Also, one point I didn't mention, Will Muschamp is the first-time head coach, and granted, Charlie Weiss had a bad run as a head coach, I think we can all agree, but Will Muschamp is going to be learning on the job, you know, let's face it, and Charlie Weiss will be there to offer some valuable experience to him. He'll give him insight on certain situations that he probably wouldn't have faced as a defensive coordinator at Texas, Auburn, etc. So there you have it. Charlie Weiss, my favorite hire. So now Will and I are going to dive into recruiting. Just a quick few footnotes. Number one, Florida has 15 players in their class, and they've kind of taken a hit for that, with the exception of ESPN. ESPN has them ranked as the fifth class in the nation. I don't know how.
I wouldn't trust ESPN too much on anything they rank.
And Rivals and Scout had Florida at 19 and 26. I'm not sure which had which. It's in the article on Gatorade.com. But I will post it in this article. When you can just look above the podcast in this within the article if you're listening on Gatorade.com, and you'll see it right there. And Florida actually had a busy week with recruits. Chase Houndshell decommitted from Florida, the three-star offensive lineman, decided to take his talents to South Bend, Indiana. I love how LeBron James just coined that, and now everybody does it. I'm taking my talents to Age of the Dinosaurs class, stuff like that. But and also, Charlie Weiss is actually going hard after Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback from Dwyer, four-star, but he's still kind of iffy with Florida after Meyer offered him a gray shirt, which basically means that Brissett would come play for Florida, but he'd have to pay his own way the first semester, something like that, which pretty much means we're not offering you a scholarship right off the bat, which, you know, is probably kind of insulting when you have offers from schools like Alabama,
yeah,
Ohio State,
it's
places
kind of,
like that.
Kind of saying, like, we'd like you to be here and be that type of quarterback that plays, like, the junior year.
Right, exactly. John Brantley. That whole John Brantley thing is going to be kind of taboo in Gainesville if he doesn't rebound next year. But
yeah.
So Will did some recruiting research, and he's going to share with us right now. So.
All right. Well, you know, so far they've got a pretty solid class. They've got till February 2nd to sign the rest of their players. A majority of the players right now are actually enrolled, so about half of the class cannot decommit.
Good news.
That is good news. So we can't go past, like, seven. Six of them are four stars. We have 1 5-star and 8 3-stars. I always tell myself, however, don't count on the stars of the players too much, though. There were some fantastic players who were 2, 1, and 3 stars.
Mod Black.
I believe, wasn't Emmett Smith, like, a 3-star?
I believe so, yeah.
Santana Moss, a bunch of different people were, you know, that turned out to be excellent in college and fantastic in the NFL, turned out from, you know, people who didn't give them much a lot of credit. And as we can see from Tim Tebow, that is a huge motivation. So go ahead, give them 3 stars.
Kick them on or down. They'll come back and bite you.
The best commit by far is Jeff Driskel, the quarterback. He's definitely going to be competing for the quarterback job.
Certainly.
Jordan Reed and Trey Burton don't have enough experience to take over from John Brantley right away, especially not in a pro style. Jeff Driskel definitely has what it takes to compete with John Brantley. John Brantley's only had one real year of experience, and he's kind of been disappointing.
Well, to compete with John Brantley, you just need the ability to throw.
And throw accurately.
Perhaps just a shred of pocket presence, you can probably compete with John Brantley. Okay. I'd throw the 2 cents right there. Okay, go ahead.
He does have pretty bad pocket presence. Anyway, he's the number one rated quarterback, which is fantastic news. However, don't take that too far. Terrell Pryor was the number one rated quarterback, and look where he is at Ohio State.
Also, another example, one of Ron Zook's first recruiting classes, he recruited the top two quarterbacks. He had Chris Leak and Justin Midgett. Look what happened to Justin Midgett. Nothing. Then again, he was competing with Chris Leak, so you had to factor that in. But pretty much, not all guys pan out to be as good as the stars say, as we were talking about earlier. So,
yeah.
I mean, take every rainy with a grain of salt there.
Anyway, he's definitely a clutch commit. He's very important to this team, especially with the lack of depth at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
There are also two, in my opinion, great commits that we have right now. Jawan Story and Javaris McRoy, two wide receivers who will definitely help out with the receiving core.
Definitely.
You know, they've had so much trouble in the past, and even with two incoming wide receivers, a new wide receivers coach will be able to, you know, teach them from the beginning and not just have to completely restart their mindset is going to help a lot. I don't know. They're just going to have a great addition because who really do the Florida Gators have a wide receiver? They have Deontay Thompson.
Andre DeBose,
who, you know, was another disappointment, who was supposed to be a great wide receiver.
Good kick returner, though. Stellar kick returner, but got to get him more involved in the receiving game. Urban Meyer talks about him having problems grasping the offense. Hopefully that won't continue under Muschamp and Weiss, but we'll see.
I mean, I don't really have to say much about each individual wide receiver when all I have to say is Deontay Thompson leads in receiving yards. Anyway, those are going to be two great ones. Regarding decommits, it's not really a surprise that we've lost 3 commits. That's really, really, really typical when you get a new head coach. And generally a new coaching staff, an entire new coaching staff, and it's only 3 losses. So kind of doing well. It would have been nice if we could have kept them, but, you know, that's never going to happen.
There was a great story by Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun that I posted to Gator. I posted a link to it on Gatorade about, you know, the struggles with first-year classes. He listed players from Spurrier, Zook, and Myers' first classes and talked about the struggles of getting those guys in there and getting them on board with a coach that they didn't really even know. And it was very, very detailed, very informative, good article. So
I liked look it. Out for I read it. It. I liked it.
Yeah.
The last big recruit that I liked the most was kicker/punter Kyle Christie.
Yes.
The reason I like this so much is because Chaz Henry is going to be leaving. This is not good news because he was one of the best punters Florida's ever had.
Hurt more than you think.
You know, and he did a decent job filling in for kicker because, you know, Chaz Henry's not a kicker. I appreciate what he did.
Exactly.
I don't think there's been any new news on Caleb Sturgis. I'm sure he'll play next season as long as he, you know, learns to grow up and deal with back spasms because I'm sure other players have much worse pains. Anyway, I really like the Kyle Christie. He's the number two punter/kicker, I believe. But then again, you know, punters and kickers aren't very highly regarded anywhere because they all kind of do the same thing. But, you know, I like him. And, you know, that's kind of my thing for commits. Hopefully we don't lose any more. It's possible, but it's more likely that we'll get more. Generally at the end, you kind of pick up the people who have to, like, decide, you know, do I want to go here or do I not? Because every time before signing day, it's years and years of actually recruiting these players and building relationships with them, and it basically comes down to them thinking about it for a long time and then deciding almost at the last minute, like every other high schooler.
Certainly an uphill battle here from Will Muschamp. Well, that is our show. How do we do for being shorthanded here?
I think we did well. We kind of still managed to be really long.
Oh yeah, we're very long-winded, let's just say that. Griffin, we miss you. You've been listening to Gatoraders, the official podcast at Gatorade.com. Quick few notes. Gatorade Facebook page is up to 292 fans.
So close.
So great. So close to 300. We love you all so much for being fans of our page. Suggest this to your friends. It doesn't matter if they're Gators fans, Seminoles fans, Bulldog fans, Nebraska Cornhusker fans.
Just pick everyone in your friends list.
Just everybody.
It doesn't matter. Completely, just say you know famous people.
Completely overwhelm them. I want them to... No, we don't want them to be sick of us. But trust me.
We want them to know our names.
We would like the exposure. Speaking of exposure, Will Smith and I are also on Twitter. You can follow Joe Morgan at Joe_Morgan and at Will_Smith52. That... You got that down, right?
Yep.
Well, that's our show. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for listening, and
go Gators.
I'm a man on a mission, yeah. This man's got a plan.